good evening, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. You are listening to Live and Local, the newest locally produced show on KRFY. I'm Susie Prez, and I will be your host each Tuesday night at 7. Live and Local offers an opportunity for local musicians to come together to share their music and play some tunes live in the KRFY studio for your listening pleasure. Tonight, my guests are Desiree and Fiddling Red. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you're part of a group called Roughshod.
True.
It's a duo called Roughshod. It's really nice to have you here. I've had you here for another show that I had when we were talking more about songwriting, which we'll probably talk about a little bit tonight. But we want to hear a lot of music, too. But before we get started, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you've been up to lately? I know you have the store, so that takes up some time, but other than that...
But the fun thing is recording a new album that we just completed called Snake Oil, and lots of half-original tunes and half-old-time music, and lots of old Appalachian tunes, and songs that Desiree has written.
I can see that. I have it in my hand here, and we'll get it into our system so Jack can play it on the local show, now known as Norwestern, every Tuesday and Friday night. So we'll get to hear it over a period of time. That's exciting. I can't wait to hear. It looks like almost every other song is a traditional and then something you've written. So it's a good mix.
But even we hope so.
Even the ones you write and do yourself, they are very traditionally based. And is that how you would describe your music?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Red has been a huge influence on me. And learning from him and then listening to old-timey music, it kind of like just floats around my living room where I do most of my writing. So
Red, you don't write music?
No, I'm a good copycat.
That's not true, because when I come up with a song and then Red comes over and I think that maybe it's ready to play, I will play it, and like that, he comes up with a part, or he says, well, I think your timing is off, or why don't you try changing your lyrics to this? And his instrumentation, the way he backs it up, it adds a whole new dimension to what I'm trying to do, and basically fits to my vision.
So that's a collaboration.
Oh, totally.
So you might not be writing a whole song, but the what you put in Red is really complements and makes it.
Totally. It's valuable.
Fills it out. It looks like we have a guitar, a mandolin maybe tonight, fiddle, banjo. And do you play clawhammer?
I play clawhammer, and I have taken up finger picking. I do two finger and a little bit of three finger picking.
So where do you learn something like that?
Red. Oh. In Red's music store.
You mean you can take lessons over there?
Yes. Well, that's where I started.
Okay. And how, you know, I've always been intrigued by the banjo. It just seems like there's these like rolling finger picking rolls or something that you just kind of learn the patterns and then what happens.
For me, I learned clawhammer first, which is really difficult at first because you use the back of your nail. And it felt rather foreign. And once you get the, what do you call it, a bum ditty down, it starts to flow. But that's basically picking out the melody. And what I have found very recently with finger picking, and I kind of just invented as I go along, is that with finger picking, I'm more able to jam. We had a friend come over Sunday and jam with us, and he brought some of his tunes. And if it was in the key of C, D, G, or A, I could actually use my finger picking and join in, which was a first for me on the banjo. So it is actually a very versatile instrument.
So you make chords with the other hand?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a five stringed.
I have a five string banjo, open back, which is traditionally for clawhammer. I really love clawhammer.
Can you kind of demonstrate, we're just getting into the instruments here right now, the difference between the clawhammer and then the roll pick?
Okay, so a claw hammer would be like this. That's claw hammer, and you're using the nail of your middle finger and your thumb. So a roll would be more like this, a two finger.
So they're real patterns.
And you can come up with all kinds of patterns. Now, the master of the finger pick is Scott...
Reed?
Yeah, uh-huh. Scott Reed.
Okay, and he gives lessons too?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Well, we'll hear one of your tunes here pretty quick. I just, before we move on too far, this new, what do you call it, an album that you made, lots of songs on it. As you said, traditional and then written by Desiree and supported with Red. Where did you record this?
In my guest room, in the art room.
Homespun recording.
It's a homespun, and I have a Mac with GarageBand, which works really well. It's simple, which I like. It's been a kind of a slow learning curve, but I think the second CD was certainly a lot easier to produce than the first CD because I have, it's like, oh, push this button or adjust it here, adjust it. So we have, a better sound quality. It's certainly... happened a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to do much mixing and mastering?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. What does that entail?
In GarageBand, it's you play around with you go into the master track and you have selections,
mm-hmm.
and you pick you can pick this one and listen to it, and if you don't like it, you pick the next one. If you don't like it, and we just mainly because I keep it real simple, keep it on folk rock, which is basically what we do.
Okay.
But the beauty of it is you can add tracks. So, like, if I write an original song, I'll play guitar and sing, and then I'll go back and do just voice, and then I'll go back and do just guitar, and then I can, ooh, that would sound good with the banjo, or ooh, that'd sound good with the ukulele, or that would sound, and then Red comes over and cleans everything up for me.
Okay, so you know how to do that. Is that the leveling and the sound levels and stuff?
Well, actually, she does all the technical computer work.
Mm-hmm.
What she really meant was that I add... the fiddle part or the mandolin part or the guitar part or anything else that it needs, I'll, you know, add tracks.
Mm-hmm. Instead
and
she, of...
But she's the one that does all the technical.
Oh. Stuff.
And then for the traditional songs, because he's not at my house all the time, we'll come in and we'll lay one track with both of us playing.
Mm.
And then he'll come back and add guitar or whatever else it needs.
Okay. I can see that. That's great. Instead of having a whole band, by adding those tracks, it's just like another person coming in.
So our album sounds like a 3 or 4 piece band.
Okay.
And I might add, too, that we do have 2 new members in our group that we're practicing with. And so this summer, some people might get to hear us either as a 3 or 4 piece band.
Can you say who those people are?
Yeah, Tom DeRozzi, who's a popular local person, and Elwin, I'm not sure what his last name is.
Elwin the optometrist.
Yes, he's
okay.
Fabulous guitarist, and he lives in Post Falls.
Where do these people come from? I'm just amazed at how many great musicians we have in this area.
We are so blessed.
Well, Elwin was with the band called Rusty Strings, and they've played a couple of times at the Green Door.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the band left town, moved to the coast, and so Elwin didn't have anyone to play with, and we were kind of looking for another guitar player to round us out. So we can, you know, we have a big band if we need it.
And Tom DeRozzi plays bass?
Yes.
Stand-up bass, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. He also plays with Patrice Webb.
Yes, he does.
Uh-huh. Another great musician in town. She'll be one of the guests on this show coming up on the 23rd of February, actually, so that would be fun. Well, I think it's time to hear a song. But just tell us a little bit about the song first. Is it a traditional song or is it one you've written?
The first tune that we're going to play is called Colored Aristocracy. It's a very traditional old-time tune, and I'm going to let Desiree tell the story about it.
Red taught me this tune because I told him that my great-great-grandfather was a snake doctor in the traveling circus, the Hamburg Novelty Company. And I have a picture of them, and they all, he had 10 kids, and they all performed in the circus. My great-grandmother was a singer-dancer. And so we have a picture of them, and they have the banjos and trumpets and guitar and fiddle. And Red said back in the day, these minstrel shows would go to town, and they traveled the Western Coast, horse and buggy, and they would stop. And when they came to town, they'd set up their tent, and then they'd march through town. And one of the songs that they were most likely to play was Colored Aristocracy. And that's what we're going to play now.
Okay. Microphone is off. It was a great visualization that you gave us prior to the song, because I could really see this band marching through town, bringing people to the
vibe, to the show.
To the show. Oh, that was perfect. It was
I'd like to add something to this. Yeah. The song was likely to gather the crowd, is the idea. It was the first tune they'd play when they came through town to get the people to draw near to them. And when she said her great-grandfather was a snake doctor, that means he sold patent medicine. You see, so it was a medicine show and circus, and they had tightrope walkers and contortionists, a pet bear, equestrian tricks, a real classic old-time circus along with the medicine show also.
How fun. And that was really part of our culture back then.
Yes, it was.
Age would you say that was, where this was
the late 1800s to the early 1900s, mm-hmm. and when the snake doctor got old, he retired, and he made all of his children promise that they would no longer be in the business of the show business, because he would not be around to protect them anymore.
He knew it was a little risky.
Yes, and so they all settled in the Sacramento Valley.
Okay, I wonder what was in some of that elixir.
I'm thinking castor oil and whiskey, probably.
That would be an interesting combination. Keep you going, anyways.
Yeah.
So that gives a real flavor of the kind of music that you play in the traditional sense. I'm sure it's all over the place, but it really had that feel. I could feel it myself. So did you have fun making this CD, or this album?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long did it take?
Not as long as the first one.
Well,
Desi's gotten so good at doing the computer work that she's the technical person. I just play music, you know.
And I keep it real simple. I mean, we're called Roughshod. It's not perfect, but I think it represents our sound, which is really all we want to do.
It's an authentic
way
representation of your sound.
Yes,
which is. unique and individual and truly yours. I mean, that's a nice thing about your sound is if I had my eyes closed and I heard your music off in the distance, I'd say, oh, that's Desiree and Red over there, because it's got its distinctness, which is pretty cool when you think about it.
I realize, too, that some people have never heard the term roughshod before, and it for those that don't know what it is, it means kind of a poor shoeing job on a horse. You know, if it looks like the shoe is half falling off, they're roughshod. And a person walking down the street with their shoes falling apart is roughshod, you know, because we're not making any pretenses to being the super ultra polished bluegrass band. We're more typically old timey, very earthy, homegrown, homespun.
Really sitting on a porch out in the back.
Yeah, that's what we like to do best.
So it's a little disclaimer. We're a little roughshod, you know, when we play.
Well, it's very pleasant and it is very relaxing. Do you have a back porch you play on? Just a backyard.
We have a front. We have two front porches we can play on now,
and that's out in Hope somewhere.
Sagal.
Oh, and Sagal. Now, why did I always think you were out in Clark Fork or Hope? Maybe you were at one time or
many years ago. I was in Clark Fork.
Oh, okay, and you know, I was thinking when you were playing. It seems like you just play because you love to play music, and making an album, going out and performing somewhere, that just gives you more of a reason to play more because you have to practice to go out and perform a little bit. You get it together. You kind of tighten everything up and shine it up. And to do the album, same thing. But really, it seems like what you guys are really after is just to play a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
And give it
a good excuse, like right now.
Right, and that's why I was really happy when you said you would come in. I think it's time to hear another song.
Yes, and we need to do something that Desiree has written. So.
Mm-hmm.
500 Mile Day.
Okay.
And this is Two Finger Picking.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the song, either now or afterwards.
This song was inspired by the writing group I go to, and I think the prompt was 5 Mile Secret. And so it inspired the lyrics, which then I took home and worked on. It was like, yeah, it has to be a banjo song. And it became 500 Mile Kind of Day, which I shortened to 500 Mile so it fit on the CD cover.
500 Mile Day.
Better to stand for outrageous.
fidget ain't a-creaking, and loneliness, well, it is a burden. Better left unopened, isolation is not the solution to loneliness, that is a burden. It's been a 500-mile kind of day. Feels like I've tried.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. I love hearing you sing for some reason. It's just so who you are.
It's not pretty, but it's got character.
It's got character.
A little roughshod.
And 500-mile kind of day. I think there are parts of that that all of us can really relate to also. Which, you know, I was recently watched that documentary, Amy, about Amy Winehouse, and listening to, I know,
heartbreaking.
But she was, you know, her songs were really, truly her life. And just the idea of songwriting. So, Desiree, you write these songs, and it hasn't been like your whole life that you've been writing songs, but you find them. I know you're in a writer's group. So is it the words, or is it the instrumental part that kind of comes first?
Words.
Words.
I'm a wordsmith.
You're a wordsmith. So you find it, and then you have to find a tune that kind of goes with your words.
Yes. And once again, I have the Mac. So what I'll do is I'll sit and I'll meditate once I have the words. And then if a tune will magically come into my head, and because I can't read music, I sing it into my computer and save it. And then I have it, and then I can, from there I tweak it. And my writer friends are great because they help me edit. I'll send it to them and say, what do you think about this? And they'll be like, well, why don't you try this? Or I like it like this. And I'm really open to suggestions. So, and then Red comes in with from the musical end and puts in his input. So really it's a group effort.
And you've really gotten into the technology end of it, which I have never, ever thought about. So you use GarageBand. That was for the doing the CD. But
for my rough draft, I use GarageBand as well.
Oh, okay, so not Audacity or something like that.
No,
it's too complicated. So GarageBand's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is, and it's adequate, and it does the job. So why would I try anything else? And it's on my computer, so.
Mm-hmm. So you have these words, and it's going to be a story song, or kind of like what you just did, poetic sort of lyrics. And do you just kind of hum, like?
I sing a tune with the lyrics on a track, mm-hmm. and then I take it from there. And usually I do know, like I knew this song had to be a banjo song.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a song on mm-hmm. the CD that is a ukulele song, and it had to be a ukulele song.
Okay.
Otherwise, I always start with the guitar.
Mm-hmm. So just find some chord progressions and see how it fits in
uh-huh.
to those lyrics.
Yes, yes.
Desiree's being very humble. She's actually a fabulous tunesmith also.
Okay.
And I think it's something she's discovered. And she is really good at coming up with unique chord changes that still sound very traditional, but they're tunes I never heard before, and it's fabulous. You know, she's not only a wordsmith, but a tunesmith too.
Well, I'm very lucky because Red always brings me over these fabulous instruments, and it's like, here, you want to try this? So I've added a lot of, and every instrument has its own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I picked up the ukulele, it was like, I started, I wrote a song that went C, where does it go? It goes C, no, it goes E minor C B seventh, which if I was playing with a guitar, I would never even think of trying that, but it works. So it because Red is always bringing me new instruments, it's opened new doors so I can experiment and play.
How fun is that?
It's really fun.
I wonder how much of it is you just feed off each other and, you know, it's kind of this synchronistic, there's probably a better word for it, that just sort of started happening. Maybe, you know, how someone wrote those traditional songs and now you're writing traditional songs, but they're this tradition. They're now. Right. It's not like you're copying them or trying to make them sound like before. Mm-mm. They're now.
Right.
But they have that traditional feel to them. And I wonder what that is. Is it, well, the fiddle has that sound.
And it's because my family was in the circus.
I wonder how much of it is just genetically pouring out of you.
I think she's got some genetic memory going on here.
Well, that's really fun. How lucky.
So I propose our next tune is called Saddle Up the Gray. And this is totally traditional. I was very influenced by the New Lost City Ramblers, who were very popular in the 60s and 70s and have since grown very old. And I was lucky enough to see them when I was about 12 years old. You know, that would have been in the mid-60s.
Did that really spark you to move forward? I mean, I'm sure you were...
I was just learning the guitar when my older brother took me to this concert. And it was very up close and very personal. And I just loved the antique instruments they were playing. And that got me going. So I started collecting. I'd find their albums in old pawn shops and stuff, you know. And this next tune, Saddle Up the Gray, is one that we got from the New Lost City Ramblers.
It's one of my favorites.
I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening to Live and Local. We're in the studio with Desiree and Fiddlin' Red, and here's the song called
Saddle Up the Gray.
On and a little platform, I'd be clogging right now. That really was a clogging tune, wasn't
it?
That's
a mover.
Yeah. Saddle Up the Gray, and that's a traditional song. I was just thinking while you were playing that, you guys are doing this kind of music. Who else is doing this kind of music anymore? This in this authentic sort of way?
Carolina Chocolate Drops.
And so are they national or?
They are international. So, Smoking Hot. I learned to play the bones from Dom Jones, who's no longer with the band. But they played banjo, fiddle, bones, jug. They use jugs.
Everything.
Guitar, yeah.
Have you gotten to see them in person?
No.
You'd love to.
But maybe someday they'll come to the festival.
Have you talked to the festival people about that? You bring them a CD or so?
Is that all I have to do?
I don't know when they make their decisions, but you could try. It never hurts.
You can go to fiddle contests and folk festivals. That, you know, people travel a long ways to go to those things, and you can find other old-time string bands.
So like at Weezer in Idaho? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have either of you ever clogged?
Yes, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I could see Desiree doing that,
actually. I wish there was a teacher around here, because I learned basic clogging, and I would love to do much more of it, but I haven't found an instructor in this community.
Oh, I thought you just got up there and clogged. So you, no.
There, well, it can get really,
you can.
There's a lot of steps that you can learn.
Because you really become a little bit of a percussion part of the song if there's cloggers on stage, which I could hear it, actually, in that whole thing. I wanted to, or you called it the bones? Mm-hmm. That could have been the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have added a bones track. Oh, well.
You're done with that one. Next time. And have you been playing out much?
No. Mostly sitting at home recording.
Winter recording session.
We frequent open mics in town.
Mm-hmm.
Just to
Monarch Coffee
with Scott Reed, and then 5 Minutes of Fame
at Bodega Cafe.
The Bodega, yeah.
The first
yeah.
and third Thursday of every month at Monarch Coffee,
and then the third Wednesday of the month for 5 Minutes.
And is it a wide variety of music?
Yes.
Or poetry, or reading, or something like that. Oh. Interesting. I've often thought of doing that, but
never a dull moment.
Mm-hmm. I know there's another open mic at McDuff's.
Tuesday. That just started. Yeah, we haven't gone to that one yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know Mark Rimeter handles that, so
yes.
He's a good one to get in contact with if you need to know more information about that. Yes.
Oh, you want to do the futuristic flop?
Okay.
We put this one on the CD because, and I'm sure it was inspired from a writing prompt, because it's kind of, I don't really sing it, I call it out, which is a part of the style of the 20s? Well, this is called the Futuristic Flop. The Futuristic Flop is the latest dancing craze. It's kind of like a jig, only grease the pin and sing. You shake your tail feathers as you jump up and down. And on the count of three, everybody howls. You spin in a circle, every time to the east. Get down on your knees and pretend you're a beast. If they haven't yet scraped you off the floor, get up fast and run to the door.
Great. So that was a style at some point in time called talking song.
I have no idea what it was called.
Mm-hmm. When you first, Desiree, heard this kind of music, you were taking lessons from Red.
Phil and Red.
Mm-hmm. On a guitar.
I started with a mandolin. Mm-hmm. I inherited a mandolin from a dear friend of mine, Drew Horowitz.
Okay.
And I promised his sister that I would learn to play it and never sell or give it away. And so I started actually with Doug Bond, and then I went back to school, and then when I met Red, I started playing in a group on Tuesday nights, and I was scared to death, but they inspired me to come anyway, and then I ended up, the IRS and my sister got me a handmade Steve Weil mandolin, and then I met Red and started taking lessons again, and I had an old banjo that I had never learned to play. It was this one, but it had a long neck. So one mandolin lesson, I brought the banjo. I said, can you fix this? And he said, sure. And the next week I came back, he said, that'll be $5 and you're going to learn to play it, right? And when I started playing the banjo, I just looked at him and smiled and said, I was born to play the banjo.
That's what I was going to say. When you first got your hands on that banjo, you knew it was yours.
Yes.
And you knew it was something you would be doing.
Yes.
It felt like home.
Yes. And eventually he replaced the long neck. We ordered this beautiful carved neck, and he installed it for me. And so it's much easier to play. And I have another banjo. Well, actually, I have a couple banjos now. And then I started taking backup guitar, and I experimented with the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave me a hammer dulcimer and a mountain dulcimer.
Wow. That must be kind of an interesting house you live in with all those instruments hanging around.
Oh, it's beautiful. And a Paraguayan harp is my newest love.
Is that a big harp?
It's big. It's bigger than me.
Okay.
But it's light in Paraguay. Apparently, I Googled this. They carry them on a special belt and they march. I will never do that.
The marching harp group.
But it's very delicate, and it's and Red had to point these things out to me, that it's the pegs that hold the strings are each individually hand carved, and so to fit the tool that tunes the harp, it's and he of course glued it back together and repaired it and made it playable, and then made the mistake of bringing it over to my house where it now lives. And possession is 99% of the law.
I guess it's yours, right?
So it's beautiful. The tone that comes out of it just it like shoots out right through your soul. It's incredible.
I know people who have had harps and they just love just having them up against them and playing just even a chord, you know, anything simple, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, how fun is that? Let's talk a little bit, Red, before we do another song. We want to get as many songs, but also you have a music store in town.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about that and what you do there and what people can...
It's kind of the Wild West music store in Sandpoint. When you come in, there's very much a Western atmosphere, and there's artwork on the walls and lots of antique instruments to look at and talk about, and some are for sale to purchase. I have lots of banjos and fiddles and mandolins and guitars, and I also rent and repair and sell band instruments for the school kids. And so I'm an affiliate with Hoffman's out of Spokane, so I have their band instruments. So I do repairs on all the band instruments and all the string instruments. Well, I don't do pianos or accordions, but everything else.
That must keep you pretty busy.
Even piano stools, and people bring me all kinds of things to repair. I know you can fix this, please.
Can you fix this harmonica?
Yeah.
The reed is out or whatever. Yeah. And that probably keeps you pretty busy.
Uh-huh. It does.
And it's right there on
Church Street. And then, of course, I teach. Uh-huh. I teach fiddle, banjo, mandolin, and guitar.
Mm-hmm. And
And ukulele, that's mm-hmm. true. And So I sell, repair, and do teaching.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the... Do you have any really nice small body guitars right now?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What kind?
I have some Washburns that are small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're very reasonably priced. And they have more expensive ones if they want to get, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Washburn has a pretty good spread and lots of choices.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend the Parver guitar.
Is that the one that you got?
Yeah. And he has one in there right now, don't you? Not like mine. It's a lesser,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's very reasonable, and it's got a great tone.
I need a slightly smaller body guitar. But anyways, let's hear another song from this brand new CD from Roughshod, and the CD is called Snake Oil. Is this a traditional or a Desiree?
Traditional.
Okay, and the song is called?
Run Mountain Run.
Another, it's a traditional tune, but was also originally recorded by the New Lost City Ramblers also. Here we go. Got to move back here. I went up on a mountain to
fetch me a load of pine. I put it on a wagon, I broke down behind. Run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, there you get your fill. I'm gonna fetch a needle and thread as fine as I can sew, and sew my true love to my side. Down the road we go. Run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, there you get your fill. I sat down to play, thinking of my own true love, she's many miles away. Run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, there you get your fill. Give my horn a blow. I thought I heard my true love say, yonder comes my bow. Run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, run mountain, truck little hill, there you get your fill.
Run, mountain, run? Mm-hmm. Why are you laughing?
The banjo player went a little off track towards the end.
Oh, well, it worked. Maybe that's what happens, huh? It all is good. One thing I was thinking about, you know, old-timey music has a certain sound, and we're hearing it here tonight. It's very evident. But you don't hear the bass a lot in old-time music. Is that kind of true?
It's more of a bluegrass thing, having a stand-up bass.
So maybe in the old-timey tradition, it would maybe be a washtub bass that isn't so percussive. It's a little bit softer.
Or none at all. So it depends on how far back in history you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fiddle and the banjo were just likely partners. You know, the fiddle and the banjo just doesn't really need anything else. But you see a lot of photographs during the Civil War where they would have a fiddle, banjo, and a guitar. So the guitar ends up being the bass instrument
mm-hmm.
at that time period. You really don't see stand-up basses until maybe the 1930s.
So if you bring Tom DeRozzi in playing the stand-up bass, mm-hmm. How is that going to shift your music? Is it going to be this style?
Not much. It just gives it, mm-hmm. you know, let's face it, a stand-up bass sounds great.
It does, yeah.
Especially when Tom plays it.
Yeah. Yay, the bass players.
Yeah. I think we're going to switch instruments here.
Okay.
Move to the guitar and the mandolin.
Okay, that sounds perfect. And while you're doing that, just tune up and just remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to Live and Local. That is here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And you can go to our Facebook page at KRFY. You can like us, and you'll get postings of who our guests will be each week. And we'd love to have you tune in so that you can hear some of this live local musicians playing their cool instruments right here in the studios of KRFY. And now we've got a mandolin that's up on board and a guitar. And that's that little Washburn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That has a really wide neck. How's that for your hand?
It's fine for my hand because it's basically what I learned on.
Okay. So you just got used to it. Mm-hmm.
And when I was 16, I got a classical guitar, which the neck is even longer.
Sure.
It's wider.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Modern guitars tend to have very narrow necks.
Mm-hmm.
And for guys like me with big fingers, It's kind of tough. But that wider neck, I really like the wider neck myself.
The mandolin is really thin, but you narrow. Just get used to it.
You don't have as many, you don't have six strings, you only got four.
Right. So we have a mandolin and a guitar, and we have a new song coming up. Want to tell us what it is and
a little bit
about the song?
Remember the red moon that we had in the fall?
Yes.
Well, Red and I went out and watched the red moon from the front porch of his little trading post, and it was very romantic, and it was also very spiritual to see that. And following that, I wrote this song, and it is called Ruby Moon, and it's in the key of C. Holding hands during rare red moon, the sun, the moon lined up this second, the warmth of your calloused hands defends against winter.
Emotional and fearless. Those were the words that came out from that song for me. I think there's something with your voice, Desiree, that is, I don't even know how to put it into words, but it has that fearless quality that you have to sing these songs. You know, it's like part of what you do. And sitting down and writing a song takes a lot of courage in a way, I think. Unless it just happens. So sometimes it just happens and sometimes you work it out. Is that what you found?
Yeah, and it's, you know, like I told you last night, you know, it's, you know, you called it a good time because I was full of doubts and insecurities. And really, I was a closet guitar player and I was scared to perform. And then my son died in a car accident and I decided to be courageous to honor him. And so in my opinion, most of my songs are, some might call them raw, but they are honest.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I sing them for myself and hopefully to inspire people who have, you know, perhaps had similar losses or similar experiences. So I remember when Nick died, I listened to lots of songs that made me cry, and those tears were healing. But I like to balance it with funny songs.
Mm-hmm.
So
I get that. Yeah, that even the traditional songs, but there is that element of I got your courage and your fearlessness. It's evident in just the tonal quality of your voice. So it's good to hear.
Thank you.
Very good to hear. Right, Red? Yeah. So
and Red always has my back, so.
Yeah, isn't that great? I think we'll all remember where we were on that red moon. I think I was out on the lake in a kayak, actually.
It was beautiful.
I think that a true songwriter can't help it.
That was kind of the next question.
Nessa Ray writes a new song almost every week, and I'm doing a dog trot behind her trying to keep up with her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And but, you know, she's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So once she got the tools, you know, the instruments.
Which he gave me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a nice partnership.
She found some talent that was, you know, waiting to come out. You know, that's how I see it.
Well, there's something about it that we need to hear it. So
thank you.
If you had any insecurities last night, let those go, because I think it's very important for people to hear your music, both of yours and your songs. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Truly.
No, we're definitely a team. It's magical when we play together.
I get that.
Well, I think it is anyway.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how it works.
You, Gold Watch and Chain?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is one that's not on our album. It's a very traditional song. It's called Gold Watch and Chain. And it's like a tune that you would hear on the radio in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Give me the nod, just in case.
Okay. Here we go. Darling, how can I stay here without you? I have nothing to cheer my poor heart. This old world would seem sad, love, without you. Tell me now that we never will part. I will pawn you my gold watch and chain. I will pawn you my gold wedding ring. I will pawn you this heart in my bosom. Only say that you'll love me again. It's a face that is false, but is fair. I will pawn you my gold watch and chain, love. I will pawn you my gold wedding ring. I will pawn you this heart in my bosom. Only say that you'll love me again. It blooms with the love of my heart. It broke through on the day that I met you. It will die on the day that we part. I will pawn you my gold watch and chain, love. I will pawn you my gold wedding ring. I will pawn you this heart in my bosom.
Go Watch and Chain.
Love that song.
Great song. And that was a nice mandolin. Where'd you get that?
This is a 1917 Gibson.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. why it sounds so amazing.
It has beautiful tone.
Really, mm-hmm. really nice.
It's a little beat up, but, you know, but it shows its age,
yeah.
but it has fabulous tone.
Well, think about Willie Nelson's guitar, Trigger.
Sure.
Yeah, so how it looks does not really matter, does it?
Yeah, the top of this mandolin's in better shape than Willie Nelson's guitar.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know what? We're kind of coming down. We have about 4.5 minutes left. It would be really great to just have you go out playing and pick another song, about a 4-minute song. I just want to remind our listeners that they've been listening to Live and Local here at 88.5 KRFY. And every Tuesday night, you can tune in. Stay tuned to Jack Peterson and the Norwestern Show. It's local regional musicians playing. And at the top of the hour, you will hear a song by Beth Peterson called Cabin on a Hill. And that will be for our friend Ted. And we're going to just say thank you to Desiree and Fiddlin' Red for coming in and sharing your music with us and a little bit of stories about your music. And just... tell us
Thank
about
you.
The song.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, and I want you to come back again to Live and Local.
Sweet. We had a great time. This is a very originally entitled anniversary song, and I wrote it for our, I think, 3rd anniversary.
You said the water's wrong on deep and my heart. You would never break if I just gave love another. Afraid love again, I said, let's just be friends. And you smiled with a touch of grace. Love, I declared, a word I do fear, because people always fade away. And when they leave this earthly plane, I'm left with nothing but pain. And I don't want to risk such wretched emptiness. So you sang another song and taught me to play along and encouraged me to practice for the band. Then you swept me off my feet as we danced to the beat of the Tennessee Waltz beneath the halo of the waters run deep in my heart. You would never break if I just gave love another chance. As we swirled around the floor, my heart's barricade crumbled so love could enter my world. And time keeps on flowing and our music keeps growing. Our colors entwined in a necklace sublime. Said the waters run deep and my heart you would never break. So I'm giving love another chance.
Well, we ended a little early and that's okay. Then we will...
should give it another break.
Talk a little bit more, I guess. We have a minute and 16 seconds. So where are you playing next?
Sandpoint Follies.
Oh, you're going to, really? The tickets went on sale today.
Yes.
Actually, oh, you're going to do that. Have you ever done that before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's, wow, okay. That's different. Are you going to write a special song for that, or?
I'm doing an act, and I might be doing a song. I'm not sure yet. I haven't got the lineup.
And I know Patrice Webb is in it,
Patrice
too.
Is in it, yes.
Yeah. Well, good for you guys.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a great cause. And mm-hmm. then we'll also be playing at the Soup Bowl.
Is that where potters make soup?
Yes.
Or bowls, and then
yes.
you come and get a bowl of soup, and that's at probably...
It's at the bank, the...
Columbia Bank.
Columbia Bank, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, and
yes.
that benefits
I think it benefits the food bank.
Okay, I think you're absolutely right.
For sure, but benefits the community, people in the community that don't have enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that last year, and it was a lot of fun. And the soup was really good, and the bowls were beautiful.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you. Have a great night. We're going to go on out.
This is KRFY 88.5, Ponderay.
This is 88.5 KRFY, community-supported public radio for North Idaho. Visit us online at krfy.org or on Facebook at KRFY.